This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings again this morning and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and I do trust the program encourages you, blesses you, and challenges you. If you'd like to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com. BDC Ministries is lowercase, all one word, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address given there, and this program can be re-listened to there, and there's a wealth of other information that you might find helpful on that website. You can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, we've been studying the angels of the Lord as we've been going through our series on important people in the Bible. And while we looked at men and women, Old Testament and New Testament, first of all, then we began to look at the Lord himself. And when we look at the Lord, we're finding out that he is portrayed to us in the Old Testament through different names, different characters, and in some cases through a manifestation called the angel of the Lord. And as I've said, the angel of the Lord may not always refer to the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus, but normally it does. And so we've looked at the angel of the Lord with regard to Hagar, Abraham's handmaid, and with regard to Abraham himself, and with regard to Moses, and with regard to Balaam. Today I want to look at the angel of the Lord as he appears to Gideon, who provides Israel salvation from the Midianites. And I want to start reading from Judges chapter 6, verse 11, which says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.'" The Lord is with you, and we're going to see that Gideon questions that. And one of our first lessons this morning is we should ask that question, is the Lord with us? I do not believe the unsaved. Those who have never trusted the Lord can honestly say that the Lord is with them. The Lord loves them and the Lord wants to save them, but the Lord is with those who have trusted him. And we're told that neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come shall ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Lord is with us. And so as we look at that, is the Lord is with us who believe in him. Now, sometimes it doesn't seem that way, but we need to have confidence that the Lord wants us to be blessed, and he wants to use us, and sometimes he does that in ways that maybe we don't agree with, as he did with Job, and as he has with martyrs in the New Testament. But nevertheless, when we run into difficulty and problems, we need to have confidence that the Lord is with us. And so Gideon didn't have that confidence. He said to this angel of the Lord, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Now, of course, the problem was that ever since the children of Israel had come into the land of the Canaanites, the promised land, they had disobeyed the Lord. They had constantly turned to the gods of the land. They were supposed to destroy the people in the land so that wouldn't happen. But they had spared many of the people in the land, and they had intermarried with them, and they had begun to worship their idols. And God is a jealous God. He wants us to worship him and him alone. And so God would deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And when they realized that they were under bondage and they turned to the Lord for salvation, in his mercy he would save them. And this is a case where he's going to save them from the Midianites. And the reason that they aren't seeing the miracles that they had seen when they came out of Egypt was because of their own sin as a nation. Now, individuals, of course, were true believers, but when it came to the nation as a whole, they had turned away from the Lord. And it turns out that Gideon is sent, but Gideon is like many of us. He didn't think he was qualified to do what the Lord was asking him to do. And so he says, "Have I not sent you?" And then in verse 15 he says, "So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, one of the tribes of Israel, and I am the least in my father's house." I wonder if that means he was the youngest. I really don't know. But anyway, he didn't consider himself to be a leader in his father's household. And the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." Then he said to him, "If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you that talk with me." Well, he didn't have a lot of confidence in his ability, and he seemed to have less confidence that this was the Lord who was talking to him. And so he asked for some signs, and we often talk about how that Gideon put out fleece, and that's what we're going to read here. He's going to put out some fleece and ask the Lord to use those fleece to give him a sign as to whether he was really the Lord himself. And now it turns out that the angel of the Lord said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock." He had sent him to get an offering and a sacrifice to offer to God. And so we know now it says he's the angel of God, and that's the term that's used in verse 20. And the angel of the Lord proves that he is in fact God by the way in which fire rises out of the rock and consumes the meat and the unleavened bread. And then the angel of the Lord departs out of his sight. So this is the angel of God, the angel of the Lord, and he's worshipped as God. And so it's quite clear Gideon had seen God. And he says that in verse 22. "Now Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God.'" Alas, that's what how he addresses this angel. "Alas, O Lord God, for I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said to him, "Peace be with you. Do not fear. You shall not die." And so Gideon was convinced that he had seen the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. Now, we need to remember that in John chapter 1, we read, "No man has seen God," that is God the Father, "at any time, but the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." He's made him known. And so from the Old Testament to the New Testament, when there is a manifestation of God that men see, that manifestation is some aspect of the Lord. Usually in the Old Testament, it was the pre-incarnate Lord, and in the New Testament, we find out that they saw the Lord as a man in his incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. But even though Gideon was convinced he had talked to God and had worshipped God with that altar, he says to God, "Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand as you have said." And of course, that's exactly what the Lord did. And he not only put out the fleece first to find out if there would be dew on the fleece only, but then he wasn't quite convinced, and he did the same thing all over again, said that there needed to be dew on the ground and the fleece needed to be dry. I suppose he thought if there was dew on the fleece but it was dry on the ground, somebody could have poured water on the fleece. But if you have the ground wet and the fleece dry, that would be a pretty difficult thing to duplicate or to counterfeit. So anyway, he now has this sign that the Lord is going to use him. And there's people who disagree with him having put out the fleece in this way. They said he should have just had confidence in the Lord and done what the Lord asked him to do. But really, when we're going to do something for the Lord, I have no problem with asking the Lord to confirm what we think he has told us to do. And I personally have no problem with him putting out the fleece, although I do think it does represent a matter of unbelief on the part of Gideon. But I think that if we were honest about that, all of us, when it comes to being used in a miraculous way, would have an element of unbelief. And so the Lord was trying to encourage him, and the Lord didn't seem to criticize him. The Lord met his need. But it's interesting that after the Lord met his need, as we look at this story, we find out that the Lord really takes the children of Israel, sends most of them home, and Gideon is left with 300 men, and we won't go into that right now to fight this battle, but he's still a little concerned, and so he has his servant sent down into the camp of the Midianites, and in the camp of the Midianites, they run across a man who is telling a dream to his companion, verse 13. And he said, "I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed." Then his companion answered and said, "This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand the Lord has delivered Midian and the whole camp." And what I find interesting is, and this is often true, that unbelievers, the people that are enemies of God, now, individually, these people may actually have been believers, but they were in the enemy camp, and they knew more about what God was going to do and had more confidence in it than Gideon himself did. And I guess the thing that I see with Gideon is that Gideon uses weak people who are first confronted with a mission, and they have very little confidence in God, that they're hearing the right message, that they're going to do the right thing. But if, in fact, they will talk to God about it, God will confirm his mission. He will confirm what he wants them to do. So when we're saved, that doesn't mean that we believe all the promises of God. We know that we believe that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. We believe that he's preparing a place for us in the Father's house, and we'll never have to see that eternal place of judgment that we often hear about. We believe that. We believe that he's coming again. But even there, I believe that the Christian church often has problems really grasping that. But we do believe that. But when it comes to our personal lives, and when it comes to some of the things that we're told to do in order to be blessed, we hold back. Sometimes we don't want to get baptized in a scriptural way. And sometimes we don't want to separate ourselves from unbelievers in a scriptural way. And sometimes we get into business deals that we shouldn't get into. But if we really do ask the Lord about these things, he will confirm the way that he wants us to go. And we really should be people who are able not only to deliver ourselves from the evil around us, but we should be able to lead others and lead others out of the evil around us and overcome the enemy that is so prevalent today. I hope you're saved, and that if you have some unbelief like Gideon did, that you'll turn to the Lord and let him confirm from his word and from the ministry of others and from the guidance of the Holy Spirit, confirm his path for you in your life. Now, our Heavenly Father, just bless our lesson and those who have listened. We thank thee for the story of Gideon, who did see the angel of the Lord, who was the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we who are saved have seen him through thy word. And we thank thee, our God, for the promises you've made to us. Bless our lesson and those who have listened, as we give thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.